America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Winds are starting to pick up all along the nation's east coast as the mid-Atlantic states brace for Hurricane Isabel. Meteorologist Dave Jones has the latest on the conditions.
The winds that are coming in off the northeast that are relatively gusty right now, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at the live network down in Manio, North Carolina. There was just a wind gust of 29 miles per hour just about 20 minutes ago. And even up in Norfolk, there was a wind gust to 30 miles per hour from the northeast. It was really a combination of the approaching hurricane and a strong high-pressure system to the north that's causing these strong winds, not directly associated with the spiral bands of Isabel yet. That'll be later on this afternoon and this evening on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Tracking Isabel live and the projected path of the storm, I'm Weatherbug meteorologist Dave Jones.
Some 70,000 people have been ordered to leave the Outer Banks area with hurricane warnings posted from Cape Fear, North Carolina to Chincoteague, Virginia. States of emergency have also been declared in Virginia and Maryland. National Guard troops are now on active duty in Maryland, and officials in Virginia say their procedures are going smoothly. In Washington, D.C., meanwhile, some schools have instituted their shelter-in-place procedures in which kids are evacuated to safer areas inside school buildings. The man who wrote the report suggesting British intelligence had been misused in an Iraqi weapons dossier is back on the stand at the inquiry into the death of a government scientist. Andrew Gilligan's facing tough cross-examination now from the government counsel. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The BBC reporter has already given evidence to the inquiry into the death of Dr. David Kelly, who apparently killed himself after being named as the source of the BBC story. Now Andrew Gilligan's facing a cross-examination from the inquiry's counsel, lawyers for the government and Dr. Kelly's family, as well as his own counsel. The BBC's director of news, Richard Sambrook, is also being recalled for a second appearance. The inquiry will also hear from an expert in computers who will testify about information found on some of Dr. Kelly's hard drives. Suzanne Chislett, London.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Retired General Wesley Clark will announce his intention to seek the presidency today. He's expected to make his announcement in his hometown of Little Rock, Arkansas, this afternoon. Clark admitted on the Today Show he has no experience in politics, but says he does have the skills required to lead the nation. A U.N. resolution demanding Israel not harm or expel Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat has been vetoed by the U.S., but Arafat says he's unfazed. Speaking to a group of Palestinians at his compound in Ramallah, Arafat said, quote, "We are not shaken by a resolution from one place or another." Arafat says Palestinians are more important than any resolution.
Presenting the new Radio Shack MasterCard credit card. With a 9.9% APR for purchases and a 0% introductory APR for balance transfers. It's a cool card that helps you earn reward points toward cool stuff, like a complete home digital imaging system. Plus, earn reward points everywhere and get double points at participating Radio Shack stores. Apply now at Radio Shack. For information about rates, fees, features, and benefits associated with the use of this credit card, see a Radio Shack store associate for details.
Less than a month after the release of the final report from the Columbia Accident Investigation Board, NASA now says it'll probably take longer than expected to get the shuttle fleet back in flight. More from reporter Linda Witt.
NASA administrators will meet next month to draw up a more realistic timeline for the space shuttle's return to flight. According to Florida Today, the space agency announced yesterday that it's no longer targeting mid-March for the return because it needs more time to make changes mandated by the Columbia Accident Investigation Board. Shuttle Program Manager William Parsons has already said the next two shuttle missions will be devoted to testing, inspection, and repair techniques. Options being considered for the first shuttle launch are between May 19th and June 28th, or July 18th and August 26th. In Orlando, I'm Linda Witt.
And a Minneapolis man accused of infecting more than a million computers with a virus goes to court in Seattle today. Jeffrey Lee Parsons has been confined to his home since being arrested last month. Parsons facing 10 years in prison and a $250,000 fine if convicted. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Bayonets ready. Take aim and fire. No, you're not in a World War I time warp. You're changing your glove compartment bulb. When I come back, I'll tell you how to hit the bullseye. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Block It fabric's got you covered. That's Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Don't get up in arms about burned-out glove compartment bulbs. You can relight the way in these easy steps. With protected hand, grab your bayonet. Bayonet bulb, that is. This little light is so called because of the protrusion at its base that receives electrical current. Now push in slightly and turn counterclockwise to remove. To install new bulb, line up bayonet with socket slot, ease in, and turn clockwise. Now relax. You've won the battle of the bulb without a single casualty. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today, the pill that will help you escape the matrix, the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, streaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, stream 145, and broadcasting on numerous web stations, live365.com, radiopower.org, and IEAmericaRadio.com with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can find all of that at TomHartman.com, where you can also find a link to our chat room, where in the chat room you will find one of the most interesting conversations on the web. And just before we got on the air, one of the folks in the chat room, I don't recall who it was, I'm going to have to scroll back and give that person credit, pointed out a really great story, and I've got a web window here open, and so I popped over to look at it. I had missed this. Today's Washington Post, an article by Al Kamen called "An Undiplomatic Display." I just have to read you a little bit of this thing. This is just incredible. State Department types were taken aback last week to find that a longtime diplomatic photo exhibit along a busy corridor to the cafeteria had been taken down. The two dozen mostly grainy black and white shots were a historic progression of great diplomatic moments. There was the original political cartoon from the Jefferson era. There was pictures of negotiations with Indian tribes, President Woodrow Wilson at Versailles, Roosevelt and Churchill signing the Atlantic Charter, James Baker and Edward Shevardnadze, a splendid shot of the old State Department building, a photo of Ronald Reagan with a very young Colin Powell. Then they were gone. And what was put up in their place? What else? A George W. Bush family album montage of 21 large photos of the president. They go on to say there are even several shots of Bush with First Lady Laura Bush. It's just incredible. And one of the folks in the Agra Arab, I know he told me once, in the chat room, he says, "Holy Joseph Stalin, Batman! Control of government information? 5-year plans? Pictures of the great leader?" And someone else says, "When do the busts go up?" Absolutely remarkable what is going on. In the meantime, in the House of Representatives, Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas has suggested that it's time to swallow our pride and give the French back their fries. We'll see if they do it. French fries coming back to the House of Representatives. We do, it seems, need their help. In part, we need their help because the news reports are saying now, this in CNN.com, CNN reported today, a new report from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. Keep in mind, the CBO, it's got nothing to do with politics. The Congressional Budget Office, no relationship to says that under current policies, the U.S. military can maintain current troop strength only until March of 2004. After that time, the report said, I'm giving you clips from this story. After that time, the report said, a U.S. occupation force numbering between 38,000 and 64,000 personnel could remain in the country indefinitely at a cost of up to $12 billion per year. So come March, we have to cut this thing down to 38,000 to 64,000 troops, or we're in big trouble. Going to be this guy George Bush has dug himself into such a huge hole. We have a great program today. We're going to cover all sorts of things. We're going to start out talking about Wesley Clark. We're going to cover a little bit of the news, but I want to get into this thing about Wesley Clark and the question we're going to be asking. And you heard it here first, as far as I know. Will Wesley Clark and Hillary Clinton be our next president and vice president? I'll get into that in just a minute. In the second hour, you're going to hear Dick Cheney talk about why we went to Iraq.
Iraq sits on top of 10% of the world's oil reserves. Very significant reserves, second only to Saudi Arabia.
Yes, of course. And in our third hour, we're going to ask the question, when will George Bush begin to support our troops? In the middle of all of this, we're going to give away a copy of Jim Hightower's new book, Thieves in High Places. We're going to be talking about the news, sharing with you insights on the news, helping you understand what's really going on, putting the con in conservative, exposing conservative lies. Our quotes for the day. The first from Ronald Reagan. I have two, actually, today, and they're both rather long. Usually we try to get one short quote for the day, but these juxtapose so beautifully, I just have to share them with you. Ronald Reagan in 1985, he said, I couldn't help but say to Mr. Gorbachev, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held if suddenly there was a threat to this world from another planet. We'd find out once and for all that we really are all human beings here on this earth together. Ronald Reagan, in a moment of extraordinary lucidity. And then in 1997, William Jefferson Clinton, Bill Clinton, said, the real differences around the world today are not between Jews and Arabs, Protestants and Catholics, Muslims, Croats, and Serbs. The real differences are between those who embrace peace and those who would destroy it. Between those who look to the future and those who cling to the past. Between those who open their arms and those who are determined to clench their fists. Our quotes for the day. Intervention Magazine has an interesting piece, this issue. The headline, this is a British publication. The headline, as Bush spreads lies throughout the land, dissenters are corralled into free speech zones. Is this America? By Mick Yowther. And this first paragraph just lays it out. He says, did you see the coverage of Prime Minister Tony Blair arriving to testify at the Royal Courts of Justice last week? The street was a mob scene with police, security vans, motorcycles, protesters greeting Blair by chanting, shame on you, banners accusing him of weapons of mass deception. Blair, B-L-I-A-R, T-shirts, Pinocchio-style noses were the fashion of the day for the protesters, and they were collecting signatures demanding Blair's resignation. All in all, it was a rude, rowdy, disgusting display of British democracy in action. And then the article points out, America doesn't have to worry about that kind of ugly scene anymore. It's about our free speech zones. From the St. Petersburg Times, they quote, anyone with an anti-Bush sign is relegated into what euphemistically is called a free speech zone or demonstration zone, a swath of land usually off the main thoroughfare and chained off so as to make it virtually impossible for the targets of the protest to read the signs or hear the chants. This, I can't believe this is not getting more coverage. We've got, you know, Brett Bercy being prosecuted for standing there along with a bunch of Bush supporters, and he puts a sign in the air that says no war for oil. That's all he did. He held up a sign. He gets arrested because they came over to him and they said, go to the free speech zone. It's a half a mile away in a cage, chain link fence. And he said, no, I think I'll stand here. They said, no, that's the free speech zone down here. Barney Frank, U.S. Congressman Barney Frank says, I thought America was a free speech zone. I thought so, too. But apparently the Bush administration does not think so. What is going on with these free speech zones? When are Americans going to start standing up and saying, no? No, we will not be sent off in the corner. I'm sorry, Mr. Bush, it might spoil your photo op, but this is a democracy. Read the First Amendment to the Constitution. These free speech zones are an abomination. We have the great leader putting photo montages of himself in the halls of the State Department, traveling around doing his fundraising speeches, and wherever he shows up, anyone who looks like they may protest or who tries to protest, and I'm not talking about people interrupting speeches, I'm all in favor of somebody in a closed event inside a hall who stands up and speaks out and interrupts a speaker being hauled off. I don't have a problem with that, frankly. Although it was a very common thing in America throughout the 19th and early half of the 20th century. And I think that in some ways that sort of thing, like the Lyndon LaRouche's, you know, during the Democratic debate, on the one hand, yeah, it's democracy, people get to speak out. On the other hand, no, it's bad manners. People came to hear this speech. That's not an issue for me, and that's not what I'm talking about. It'd be interesting to talk about it with an attorney who is into you know what is appropriate and what's not. But most of these venues in which Bush is speaking are not quote public venues end quote. Anyway, he's not. I mean, if he's standing out in front of the White House or standing on a public street and somebody interrupts him, they have every right to. They shouldn't be hauled off, in my opinion. But if he's in a closed building, as he almost always is, with hand-picked, invited guests who are coughing up cash so that every time he shows up for a half hour, he can walk away with $1 million, he should have the right to speak without being interrupted because, I mean, you know, it's his venue. I say that, you know, I do a lot of public speaking, and I can tell you being interrupted really kind of blows your... But that's not what we're talking about here. I know that the cons like to spin it like that, but that's not what I'm talking about. The situation here is these people are outside the venue. They're out on the public street. And they're being told that they've got to go a half a mile, in some cases as much as a mile away, and lock themselves up in a free speech zone with cops surrounding it if they want to protest. That is not America, my friends. I spent much of my childhood terrified of the communists. I remember in the 1950s, duck and cover, right? We used to have these drills in our elementary school where we would dive under the tables when the bell went off and cover our eyes, and we had a particular way that you had to do it, cover your eyes and cover your ears at the same time so that when the blast happened, it didn't blow out your eardrums and blind you. We were scared to death of the communists because they didn't believe in freedom. They wouldn't let people speak out. They didn't allow protest. And now comes George W. saying, if you want to speak out, go a mile down the road and get in the cage. This is not just not American. This is anti-American. We haven't seen this since Mussolini and his fascist state in Italy, in any country that called itself a democracy. And, of course, Mussolini's democracy very quickly no longer was. And Kim Jong-il, yeah, makes a lot of sense. The dictator of North Korea, he would lock people up in a free speech zone. You would expect that. But in America? In the United States of America? And now here, intervention, here in England, there's not time to read it. Here's three pages, single space, small type here, of quotes about, you know, from news stories and from people who were herded off into these free speech zones. It is absolutely outrageous. Stay tuned. We're going to get back to Wesley Clark here when we come back. This is Tom Hartman on the IU America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. We'll be right back.
Boy, I can't believe I didn't do it. I really missed the boat. Interest rates were at historic lows. I knew the economy was turning around. I could have called General Steel and saved a ton of money on the building I needed, and I'd be ready for the new economy. Yep, I really blew it.
Will this be you? Perhaps a year from now. Let General Steel Corporation show you how to take advantage of this unique moment in history. A steel building from the General will save you time and money compared to conventional construction. And you can hold your building delivery for up to 1 year with a small deposit. Small business owners know that now is the best time to build and prepare for the new economy. Whether you need a 60 by 200 foot building for under $15,000 or 100 by 175 for under $98,000, call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need manufacturing or warehouse space, you need the General. If your church or school needs to expand quickly and save money, you need the General. Call 1-866-96-STEEL. This moment in history won't last forever. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens, Good Day, from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time. Followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7. Followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Fool me, we can't get fooled again.
And with the nation's grace, one man can destroy the human race.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our daily presidential misstatement. These are from misleader.org, www.misleader.org. George Bush said, "We will not pass along our problems to other Congresses, to other presidents, or other generations. We will not pass along our problems to other Congresses, other presidents, and other generations." The truth, factoring in the cost of reconstruction in Iraq and other laws that are set to be enacted, the federal budget deficit will be close to $5 trillion over the next 10 years. The president's latest request to make his tax cuts permanent would add another nearly $1.6 trillion to the federal debt through 2013. That's $41,300 for every man, woman, and child that will have to be repaid. This is not abstract. These are not just like, you know, gee, there's some number there. It's just a number. No, this is real money. And when governments hit debts that are that high a percentage of their gross national product or gross domestic product, there's an article in the Wall Street Journal, 2 weeks ago, I shared it with you on the air. It was about 2 weeks ago, where they said that we are within spitting range of where the World Bank would come in and impose upon us austerity measures like they did on Argentina if our debt had been bought by the World Bank. Instead, our debt has been bought by other countries. I have a story I want to share with you about that in a little bit. But first, I want to get into this Wesley Clark thing. But our misleader of the day, misleader.org, every day a new lie from George W. to the American people and the world, and the truth. This president has the interesting distinction of being the most consistent and prolific liar of all presidents in the history of the United States. And this isn't just, you know, some left-wing hyperbole. And the evidence is overwhelming. I defy anybody to refute that. It is absolutely overwhelming. Hans Blix was interviewed yesterday. This was published in Reuters. He said, I think it's unlikely that anything will be found in Iraq. He says, I'm certainly more and more to the conclusion that Iraq has, as they maintained, destroyed almost all of what they had in the summer of 1991. I don't have the exact quote here right in front of me. I saw it in a different news story this morning. I thought I'd clip them both out. But in any case, he made the comment something to the effect of, a lot of people put a sign in front of their house that says, beware of dog, even though they don't have a dog. And you know, Saddam didn't want, he had invaded Kuwait. I mean, you know, it's an unstable region. He didn't want Syria getting any wild ideas. He'd had a war with Iran for years. He didn't want Iran thinking, hey, this guy's defenseless, let's go after him. So he had to keep up images for the neighborhood. But when it came right down to it, he said to the weapons inspectors from the UN, yeah, we did it. Come on in, check it out. They came in, they looked around, they said, yep, there's nothing here. George W. said, hey, cool, there's nothing there. Let's go pretend to have a war. I'll look like a big hero. Picking on somebody who is unable to defend themselves. Yeah, I mean, we wiped out his Air Force. We sent the UN in to make sure he didn't have any weapons. And then we call it a war? I'm sorry, that's not a war. That is an invasion. Will Wesley Clark and Hillary Clinton be our next president and vice president? What do you think? 1-800-TALK-YES, their number, 1-800-825-5937. I'm going to go through some of Clark's biography here, and let's get into this a little bit. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Two down, one to go for the United Auto Workers. After reaching tentative new contracts with Daimler Chrysler and Ford Motor Company on Monday, bargaining continues with General Motors. The union said it would not compromise on issues of job security and the costs of health care, but details leaked about the proposed Chrysler contract paint a very different picture. As many as seven U.S. factories may be closed, putting as many as 9,000 out of work. The costs of prescription drugs are also scheduled to rise for union workers at Chrysler. To make it easier to swallow, Chrysler workers are promised a $3,000 signing bonus and a regular schedule of raises.
Victory for labor unions and the First Amendment at Walmart. A judge with the National Labor Relations Board in South Carolina ruled yesterday that the retailer illegally muzzled employees who spoke about union organizing on the job. Walmart had argued that the discussions violated its no solicitation policy. The judge also found that Walmart illegally used wage increases as a means to entice workers away from union organizing. A spokesperson for the United Food and Commercial Workers suggests that Walmart employees seeking a raise should simply begin talking about forming a union.
Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of American workers may be sick and dying, casualties to the Cold War. They worked in factories conscripted into government service for the design and manufacture of nuclear weapons. Although the government has set up a compensation fund for workers with radiation-related health problems, it will only compensate those who were exposed while the work took place. The problem is many of these plants remained contaminated with uranium dust and other toxins for years after the weapons work ended. And while there's evidence that the government knew this, those workers are not eligible for federal aid. So far, more than 28,000 claims have been denied.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. And you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
8 years of peace and prosperity. Scandal in the White House. Election is what we need from coast to Washington.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 2:37, 2:38 in the morning in Melbourne, Australia. I read the chat room. You go to tomhartman.com and click on the links. You click on the chat room link, and it'll take you to the trade forum and CompuServe. Click the chat button, you drop right in. And There's somebody in there who has a website, freedomhaters.com, www.freedomhaters.com. And I looked at it, and it's in British English. And Freedom Hater says he's in, he or she, I don't know, in Melbourne, Australia. It's 2:30 in the morning, and they are listening. And this person is listening to the program live. I'm assuming on the web, because I don't think that the Sirius satellite stretches that far, and I don't think, I'm pretty sure we don't have a radio station there, although I know that there is a radio station in Melbourne that had been talking about picking up the show. I don't know, I didn't think that we had gotten that far with that. In any case, a great website, freedomhaters.com, if you want to see the Australian perspective on this. This is just remarkable, this technology. Okay, well, Wesley Clark. I began thinking about this the other day. This was, what, a week or so ago that Bill Clinton and Hillary had this thing, this get-together in their home in Long Island, or in New York, I think it's on Long Island, where they had invited 150 or so major donors and friends and whatnot to this hoop-de-doop, you know, to this get-together. And I read you the quotes. I shared them with you the next day on the air where, and of course, it was all off the record. There was no news conference held. But people talk. And there was some, one of the people who was there said Bill had come up to him and said, hey, pretty soon you're going to see one and maybe two interesting new candidates being entering the race here for the Democratic race for President of the United States. Now, he didn't, that's not a verbatim quote, but it was something to that effect. And the one, maybe two, caused me to wonder. Now, everybody at the time, and there were a few other comments that had come out of that dinner party or the evening backyard barbecue or whatever it was. There were a few other comments that had come out of it. One that Hillary made in which she had kind of deferred. Well, no, I'm not. You know, it's not planning on running for president, but you never can tell. That kind of thing. I don't have the quotes right in front of me. They're from a week or so ago, and they're you know, off in the pile now someplace. But I remember thinking, A, she sounds like she's hedging her bets and that she's interested in becoming president of the United States. And B, she's pretty clearly saying that she's not going to run for president. And the word was out that Wesley Clark was gathering all these Clinton advisors together. He's from Little Rock. They're from Little Rock. They travel in the same circles. They have the same friends. I predict, and I may well be wrong on this. I have no inside information. This is just my gut. I predict that Wesley Clark, of course, today he's going to throw his hat into the ring. And if he gets any traction at all, and it looks like he's got a good chance of getting the Democratic nomination. And, of course, you know, it's going to be quite a battle. That Hillary will jump in as his running mate, and you will see Bill and you will see Wesley Clark and Hillary in 04 against George and Dick. And if they win, then in 8 years, if Wesley can hang on to the presidency for 8 years, Hillary will run for president in, what would that be, 2012? That's my prediction. But who knows? Who knows? So who is this Wesley Clark guy? Yeah, one of the folks in the chat room, the Agri-Arab, says, I will not vote for Hillary. Yeah, there's a lot of people. You know, she has very strong negatives. I have some real concerns about DLC Democrats. I don't know yet if Wesley Clark is a DLC Democrat. Democratic Leadership Council is the DLC. And this is an organization that's largely funded by corporate donations that thinks that corporations should have a role in politics. It's old politics. And this, you know, what Howard Dean has really brought to this race, which is truly remarkable, whether you like Howard Dean or not, whether you like his politics or not, I personally think very highly of him, but that's, you know, I'm biased. I'm reporting here to you from our Athenwood studio in the high up in the Green Mountains, on a beautiful sunny day, by the way, from broadcasting live from the People's Republic of Vermont. you know, streaming our digital audio signal into the network studios in Detroit, where they bounce it up to the ABC satellite, where it bounces down to your local radio station, which is how you're hearing it. And I've lived here in Vermont for going on 9 years, I think, 8 or 9 years. And Howard Dean was my governor most of the time that I lived here. Just this last year, Jim Douglas took over. And he was, in my opinion, he was a great governor, a good man. There were a lot of things he did that I agreed with. There were a lot of things he did that I disagreed with, or at least a few. And some that he did that I strongly disagreed with. But he always, to the best of my recollection, spoke the truth. It wasn't like this weasel stuff that we see from George W. and Dick Cheney, where it's like, you know, control the image, control the perception, you know, the half lies, the overt lies, of course, and then the half lies like Cheney in Iraq. We're going to get into that in our second hour. It wasn't like that. He would just say, you know, hey, I think this is how it should be, and this is why. And you can agree with me or disagree with me. I respect you either way. And that is how Howard Dean ran this state. I thought he was a great governor. And, you know, and I continue to, and I think he'd make a great president. But that said, I think that, you know, Wesley Clark probably is a straight shooter as well. Anything is an improvement over what we have right now. But the question is Clark number one? And if, you know, if Hillary is his running mate, or if somebody else is, whoever is his running mate, are we seeing here a strong candidate who has incredible star power? I mean, look at what this guy has done lately. It's like Arnold entering the race in California. We all saw that, you know, as soon as he said on Jay Leno, "Yes, I'm in the race," it was like a small nuclear bomb had dropped in the press. It was all of a sudden. Everybody's talking about Arnold and all the other candidates. I mean, Arianna Huffington was a very strong candidate, and she's lost in the shuffle. It's all about Arnold. And you know, Arnold's good, Arnold's bad, Arnold's a sexist pig, Arnold's a good husband, and you know, Arnold, because he's a star. You can't fight or challenge. In this star-driven media that we have today, star power. I mean, star power is really something. It's hard to just, you know, you can't just walk away from it. And Wesley Clark, having directed the battle in Kosovo, and having been the head UNSCOM. No, it wasn't UNSCOM. It was. I'm mixing up my acronyms. Well, I'll get to it anyhow. He was the head of what became the command that is running our war in Iraq. And I, you know, he's well known. And of course, he was the CNN commentator and all that stuff during the war. He's well known. And I just wonder if any of the Democrats, the only other Democrat who has anything close to the kind of name recognition I think that Wesley Clark has is Joe Lieberman, although Howard Dean has been picking up a lot lately with his Time and Newsweek. But anyhow, let's go through this stuff. He's picked up a lot of momentum. Who is he going to harm? John Kerry, of course. John Kerry has been positioning himself as the only Vietnam veteran in the race. Well, he's not anymore. This is really going to be and Kerry has really been, I mean, you know, having his staff point out that Howard Dean picked his nose on TV or something like that. I mean, yeah, Kerry is really running scared. And this has to be something that's going to just absolutely terrify him. We got John Edwards. John Edwards' main draw card has been that he's from the South. In fact, I started to think when John Edwards decided that he was not going to run for his own Senate seat, I thought, this is nuts. This guy's got a safe Senate seat, a Democrat Senate. You know, senatorial seats are expensive. They're powerful. He should hang on to that thing. There's no chance he's going to win the presidency. Why would he do this? He's either a deluded, egomaniacal nutcase who's disconnected from reality, which I really doubt. I mean, it's possible, but I really don't think so. I don't think you get to be a United States senator and go through the scrutiny associated with nearly a year of being on the campaign trail running for president with somebody without the world figuring that out first, if that's the case. I mean, it's possible that you could be a senator and fool people, but he has been out there. He's been out there in public. I don't think he's nuts. So my first thought was, well, maybe he really didn't want to stay in the Senate. And this is like a graceful way out, and he'll go back to his law career, and he'll have all this cachet, and he'll make all kinds of money, and, you know. And that's, I mean, that's been done a lot. Nothing new in that. And then I thought, you know, if he's thinking that Howard Dean is going to win the nomination, or even John Kerry, they're both from northern states, Massachusetts and Vermont, or, you know, and vice versa. And they're going to need a southerner to balance the ticket, he may be thinking. And so they may be looking. So maybe he's not running. Maybe John Edwards is not really running for president of the United States. Maybe he's running for vice president. I mean, he announced his candidacy the day before yesterday on The Daily Show. That's nice. It was a nice gesture, but it was, I cringed. I mean, afterwards it was followed by, on The Daily Show, them picking apart the fact that, what kind of person would announce their presidential candidacy on The Daily Show? Okay, enough about John Edwards. Dick Gephardt. Arkansas is two states away from Iowa, which is Gephardt territory, or he's hoping for. And of course, Wesley Clark is from Iowa or from Arkansas. We'll see what impact it has on Gephardt. Howard Dean, Dennis Kucinich, and Bob Graham have all positioned themselves as the anti-war candidates. This is going to blow them up. It's going to harm them. Let's say. And Joe Lieberman, who has positioned himself as, if you like Clinton Gore, you'll like me, has probably the most to lose here, because Wesley Clark is wrapping himself in the flag of Bill Clinton. You just watch. He was critical of Bush's handling of the Iraqi war and of the post-war efforts. On national security, he says we need to not only go after al-Qaeda, but also to secure the protection of the United States cities themselves. This administration has been unwilling to spend $7 billion to inspect every piece of cargo coming into our ports, or spend $10 billion to put anti-surface-to-air missile systems into our commercial airline fleet. Unwilling to do the two things that all the security analysts are saying, this is your biggest risk. Unwilling to spend that money because it might cut into the tax cut for the rich. And Wesley Clark says that's nuts. Not specifically about those things, but in general, he says, we need to devote the resources and the attention necessary not only to attack al-Qaeda abroad, but to ensure that citizens in our cities in New York and Washington, D.C. are safe and protected. He believes that terrorism at its core is a struggle between haves and have-nots. I would say that there's actually a couple more components there. I don't think it has to do with wealth and not wealth. There was a real interesting study that was done, and I'm going to have to dig out the details on this. I heard about this at the GRA conference this weekend. The CIA did this thing about 10, 15 years ago, in which they had three or four criteria, and they said when a country hit all three or four of these, then the probability was greater than 80% that there would be a melt, that country would engage in a war, whether it would be a civil war or whether they would declare war on somebody else. And one, of course, had to do with their level of poverty, whether people were, had their basic needs met. But another that I thought was really interesting was whether people felt that their government actually represented them, whether they felt that their government, they could speak up and their government was heard them. And a third, as I recall, had to do with people having the feeling that they had the ability to express themselves freely within their society or culture. I'm going to have to find it, but that second one in particular. And I think the terrorism comes out of feeling oppressed, feeling that they are under somebody else's thumb. And, I think these are all the elements that make terrorism. Anyhow, he says, terrorism is a multilateral problem. You can't defeat it with one nation. You need international police work. This is what I've been saying all along. 9/11 was a crime, and it should be solved by police action. So anyhow, here's a quick quote from Wesley Clark.
And if families want to do better, then they have to have everybody working. We got a country that's working harder than any other country in the Western world. We got people who put in longer hours, work for less pay, have fewer benefits, and are proud of it. And, you know, my hat's off to them. But I think that we need to get the balance right in this country.
And his thoughts on the tax cut.
I would not have designed a tax cut like this one because I don't think this tax cut was, I don't think it was efficient in terms of raising demand effectively in consideration of the amount of deficit that we've created.
I'm telling you, Wesley Clark is, not only is he going to scare the rest of the Democrats who are running, but he's going to, this has to have Karl Rove in a panic. I mean, this is probably why they're putting up pictures of our great leader in the State Department, taking down those pictures of past presidents and replacing them with a 21-picture photo montage of George and Laura Bush, because they're frightened. They're absolutely frightened. Exposing the conservative lies, putting the con in conservative. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel 6. I've noticed a lot of middle-aged corporate types on motorcycles trying to recapture a rebellious youth they never really had. They hit the highway like a bat out of accounting, but all they seem to be rebelling against is a full head of hair. But they can still call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 for a place to rest and brush any dirt off their brand new leathers. I'm Tom, born to be mild Baudet, and we'll leave the light on for you. And a core hotel.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding me? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
You can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. What do you think about Wesley Clark? Pablo in Santa Fe is on the line. Pablo, what are your thoughts on this?
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm great, but I'll get better. How about you, Pablo?
Doing pretty good. A couple good. Of comments. You mentioned how you thought perhaps Hillary and Bill Clinton are supporting or encouraging Wesley Clark to run, and that potentially, you know, Hillary could be angling for the VP spot. Which very well
this is my wild guess.
Yeah, what I had thought was that by Clark getting into the race, he kind of, you know, takes some support from Dean, from Kerry, et cetera. And so after the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary, there's really no front runner. And then, you know, in effect, to save the Democratic Party, Hillary jumps into the breach, you know, to become the nominee. So I'm thinking possibly... Yeah. You know, either way, it's a plus for Hillary, either as the VP possibility, or if things are in disarray, she can jump in to try and take the presidential nomination.
Yeah, I frankly think I see her hand in this. My guess is that they did their focus groups, and what they found was that as of this moment, there is still enough sexism in this country, particularly out in the Joe Sixpack world. Among the swing voters and the middle voters, you know, the unaffiliated voters, that a woman at the top of the ticket right now would be, you know, there would be the added disadvantage of her gender, and it would be enough of an added disadvantage that they probably couldn't beat all that cash that George W. is piling up. So to overcome that, let her be the vice president for 4 years or 8 years. Let America become familiar with her. Let her become very proactive and active and do good things out there and be the kind of vice president like Dick Cheney has been, who's actually doing something rather than like Al Gore did, who kind of sat in the background or seemed to. I mean, Al Gore did a lot of good stuff, but very little of it was publicized. And then people will have a sense of her as the vice president, and then from that platform she could step into running for president. What do you think?
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, it is true that Hillary has very strong negatives, certainly in the South and in other parts of the country, but there's a lot of men who are basically very threatened by a powerful woman.
I think so, too. Pablo, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
From the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly disorder from sirens night and day, from the fires.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. The winds are picking up still all along the East Coast as Hurricane Isabel bears down on the mid-Atlantic states. Correspondent Kathy Culpepper has the latest from Virginia Beach.
Standing under the ocean front in ocean view, and the winds have really kicked up this morning. We have trees bending over, and even the seabirds seem to be flying a little more inland. They can sense this storm coming as well. What's so strange is this wind is the equivalent of what we usually have, what's called a nor'easter in this area, which is a big rainstorm and thunderstorm. And we have no rain or thunder right now. All we have a bright blue sky, sunshine, nice light cloud cover. So it's a very strange feeling to be out here with these winds blowing like the dickens, and yet having beautiful, clear blue skies. And that's sort of the indication you know things are not quite right here on the ocean front in Norfolk.
The United States has vetoed a United Nations Security Council resolution calling on Israel not to target Palestinian President Yasser Arafat for exile or assassination. The veto came after 2 days of negotiations with Washington pushing for a stronger condemnation of Palestinian suicide bombings and the failure to round up militants. Correspondent Nathan King has details from New York.
The United Nations is used to American vetoes in the Security Council over Israel, but this was a bitter debate. Washington says it was ready to back a condemnation of his Israeli threats to exile or kill Yasser Arafat, but only if Palestinian violence was equally condemned. That is something that Syria and other council members could not support. The failure to get this resolution passed is the latest in a long line of setbacks for the roadmap to peace backed by the Bush White House. Both Israel and the Palestinians have broken ceasefires. And moderate Palestinian Prime Minister Abu Mazen resigned earlier this month. Nathan King of the United Nations, New York.
There is worry now the U.S. veto could lead to renewed extremist actions against the U.S. and possibly Israel. The Arab League says its leaders are discussing a possible proposal to hold an emergency summit soon to discuss Arafat's possible expulsion.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
The former chief weapons inspector for the United Nations says he thinks Iraq did dispose of its weapons of mass destruction a decade ago. Speaking on Australian radio, Dr. Hans Blix says officials searching for the banned weaponry in Iraq will likely find only documents relating to them. The U.S. says it's confident the weapons will be found. Revised site plans for Ground Zero in New York City will be released later today, and redevelopment officials say they have eliminated plans for a bus garage where the Twin Towers once stood. Many victims' families had voiced concerns the garage would have been erected on what they consider sacred ground.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
A good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
U.S. forces now say they're holding six people, some believed to be either British or American, in connection with attacks against coalition troops in Iraq. The news comes just a day after U.S. forces killed two Iraqis and wounded two others in a battle outside a munitions dump in Tikrit in northern Iraq. The latest now from correspondent Nina Maria Potts.
It's the first time the U.S. military has revealed holding Westerners in the attacks against coalition troops in Iraq. The eight alleged Westerners are being held to the west of Baghdad at the Abu Ghraib prison, where Saddam Hussein imprisoned political opponents. Senior military officials say the men claiming to be Americans and British are suspected of involvement in guerrilla attacks. They haven't yet been identified. Just a day earlier, U.S. troops killed two Iraqis and wounded two others in a battle in Tikrit. The suspects were apparently trying to loot a munitions dump, but two men got away. Nina Maria Potts reporting.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Ask Shirley MacLaine, and she may tell you she was Marie Antoinette or even Zeus in another life. Believe that or not, I'll tell you about some real automotive reincarnations when I come back.
Want to know the secret to finding a shop that can keep your car running like new? Find the cleanest shop in town, where cleaning is top priority. Not talking about clean floors, but better shops have those too. I mean shops that have the best training, equipment, and chemistry to clean every air, fuel, and fluid system in your vehicle. Keep it clean, and you don't have to keep replacing parts. Find your clean shop at bgfindashop.com. That's bgfindashop.com.
You won't need a seance to see where your old car might have gone. Just drive to your new car dealer, because 12 million vehicles were recycled last year. Thanks to Open Loop Recycling, any scrap of steel liquefied in the process melting furnace can be reformed into any shape. That means fenders of old Crown Vicks or Caprices might reincarnate as hoods of brand new Mercedes. And like the mythological Phoenix, steel conquers its trial by fire and is actually strengthened in the recycling process. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Greetings, patriots from coast to coast. Donald Rumsfeld yesterday... Defense Secretary Donald H. Rumsfeld, according to the Associated Press, an article by Robert Burns, Rumsfeld, no Saddam al-Qaeda link, said that he had no reason to believe that Iraq's Saddam Hussein had a hand in the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks in the United States. Now, here we have the Secretary of Defense, the guy who's in charge of our military, the guy who ultimately should know whether al-Qaeda had anything to do with Iraq, or Iraq had anything to do with 9/11. I mean, you would think, right? And what did he say when he was asked? The Pentagon, at a Pentagon news conference, somebody said 70% of Americans believe that Saddam was involved, was personally involved in 9/11. 70% of Americans. How could this be? And Rumsfeld says, and I quote, "I've not seen any indication that would lead me to believe that I could say that, that Saddam had anything to do with 9/11. He added, "We know he was giving $25,000 a family for anyone who would go out and kill innocent men, women, and children. Saddam was sending $25,000 gifts to the families of suicide bombers in Israel, which was despicable. But I'm not sure it's worth killing 300 American soldiers, maiming and wounding nearly 2,000, killing thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of Iraqi civilians, to stop that when there are many other ways that you could stop that, that you could intercept that $25,000. Anyhow, Rumsfeld says, we know he was giving $25,000 a family for anyone who would go out and kill innocent men, women, and children, and we know of various other activities, but on that specific one, that being Saddam, have anything to do with 9/11. On that specific one, no, not to my knowledge. No, not to my knowledge, says Donald Rumsfeld. Now, at the same time, George Bush and Condi Rice, they keep weaving, you know, talk about Saddam a little bit, talk about 9/11 a little bit, talk about Saddam a little bit, talk about 9/11 a little bit. Never say Saddam caused 9/11, but if you talk about them in the same paragraph, different sentences in the same paragraph, people get the idea, and it's worked really well. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We're going to get into this question here in this hour. Is Dick Cheney working so hard to deceive Americans about Iraq and 9/11 to protect his income from Halliburton or to keep his oil buddies happy? Or what? I mean, why is he doing this? But before we get into that, Jim in Indianapolis is on the line, and I believe Jim still wants to talk about Wesley Clark. You've got a comment about the, you know, Wesley Clark. I'd love to hear what you have to say, what your thoughts are here, Jim.
Mega dittos, Tom.
Thank you. Well, welcome to the program.
Wesley Clark, Howard Dean scares George Bush to death. And they are probably having a stroke right now over Wesley Clark.
Oh, it's got to be a panic attack. Karl Rove's pants are wet.
That has got to be George Bush's worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. But you know, I tell you, I would vote for Hillary in a flat second. My problem is, I believe if she gets in this race, we're going to have four more years of George Bush.
And even if she comes in as vice president.
Yeah, I think so. The right has been tenderizing her for 2 years, and they're just waiting for her to get in this. They're going to beat her up. They're going to beat her to the ground. And I don't think Hillary Clinton could. I don't think she'd get elected. I really don't. I would vote for her myself in a second. I think the winning ticket would be Howard Dean and Wesley Clark. Now, in which order, I don't know, but I believe if Hillary jumps in, we're going to have four more years of George. And I appreciate it. I'll let you comment. Thanks.
Okay, Jim. Well, we know we don't know, but I think it's a safe assumption that the Dean campaign had talked with Clark about having Clark as a VP on the ticket. It certainly would have been a tremendous help for Howard Dean. Whether Clark would want Dean as a vice president, that's a good question. I don't know. Dean is a good man. He, you know, anywhere on the ticket. My thoughts on the Hillary thing, though. And boy, the lines are lighting up. We got a couple more calls here, so we'll just stick with this topic for a little bit, and then we'll get to Dick Cheney. My thoughts on this are that there, at one level, politics in America operates like football, and those people who don't understand that there is a hardcore group of people whose interest in politics is a sports-based mentality interest, miss a lot of the dynamic of what's going on. Now, what I mean by that is that in sports, I mean, if I grew up in Lansing, Michigan, the Detroit Tigers were my team. And the Detroit Tigers could do no wrong. If they screwed up, if they blew it, I would always defend the Detroit Tigers. Ernie Harwell, I can still hear his voice. You know, the commentator for the Tigers. As a kid, and as a young man, it was the Detroit Tigers. You know, do or die. And I think that in politics, there is a small percentage of people, and it's probably somewhere between 10 and 25% of the people on both sides. So it's in aggregate somewhere around 20 to 50% of the total voting population who are so loyal to their party that they'll vote for pretty much any candidate that gets put up. And that's that. Now, they have very strong opinions about who that candidate should be, but that's the loyal base. And the right can tenderize Hillary all they want. They're not going to influence the base on the left. Just like people like me can go on and on and on about George Bush and his lies, and folks like True USA in our chat room are token conservative here. It's not going to change his mind. It's his team. So the question is, does the tenderizing affect those people in the middle who are willing to vote either Democrat or Republican based on the person, the Reagan Democrats? The Republicans who voted for Jimmy Carter because they thought he was the best man. He was a good ethical man after all the scandals of the Nixon administration. The Republicans who voted for Bill Clinton. Are those people going to be swung by that? And it's a good question. Long before we have to worry about Hillary, though, is the question of Wesley Clark. What kind of influence is he going to have on this race? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Tim in Hartford, Connecticut's on the line. Tim, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's very interesting. I think he stole a little bit of my thunder. The idea of swinging that middle ground, that squishy middle ground that would vote one way or another. Now, who are those Republicans that voted for Clinton? I mean,
well,
weren't
Clinton
a lot of them voting
have...
for Ross Perot in the first election?
Yeah, Clinton couldn't have gotten all the votes he got without some people who in the past had voted for Republicans. They may not necessarily, you know, be registered as Republicans, but without the people who voted for Reagan, Clinton couldn't have won the way he did.
Reagan Democrats.
Well, you've got the Democrats who voted for Reagan. I think that there are people who swing back and forth who broadly identify themselves as either Republicans or Democrats, but they're weak in their identification. They're not the sports junkie types. They're not my team, right or wrong. They identify. They say, oh, I'm a Democrat broadly, but I'd vote for a good Republican. You know, here in Vermont, you've got half the state voted for Jim Jeffords. He's a Republican, and yet, you know, this is a very liberal state. For example.
Oh yeah, if the perception of the honesty and everything like that, I think seems to me, you know, if Clark were to actually be the nominee, which would seem really remarkable, trying to, you know, go all the way through the floor fight on the convention, and what I see initially is his appealing, especially in New Hampshire, to all those McCain kind of people who would be independents who could cross over and vote in the New Hampshire Democratic primary because they don't have a Republican race up there to vote in. And I think that would probably, you know, really skew it. That's one of the reasons I'm not particularly very fond of these very open primaries where anybody can just, you know, walk in and cause havoc in the idea of what the party stands for.
And in fact, the Republicans in particular, although the Democrats have done it in the past as well, have been very good in those states where there are open primaries at just going in and wreaking havoc, you know, getting the candidate that they want because they know they can beat them. But, Tim, you're a Green. I'm curious, as a Green, what are your thoughts on Wesley Clark? Is Wesley Clark a candidate that you might vote for or support if Ralph Nader doesn't get into the race?
A former military general.
Right.
I mean, quite frankly, you know, I mean, the whole commitment, that's why so many Greens are looking at people like Kucinich and are using the terms Department of Peace. I mean, his policy in the Middle East would be, you know, he's got to start articulating that quite a way. I mean, even today I saw him on the Today Show with Matt Lauer and Mass. I thought he asked him a softball question about gays in the military, and he just essentially punted and wouldn't take a commitment one way or another. As far as that, well, that's something that the generals should look at again. You know, it's like classic sit on the fence, don't say anything kind of Democrat.
Well, when you're running for office, there are some things you just don't do because they're political suicide, you know.
Yeah, well, but it all depends. I mean, you want the Democratic Party nomination? I mean, you know, with a lot of gays in it and that sort of stuff.
Right, but you have to look at each issue and say, is this issue worth my sinking my candidacy over? Do I feel so strongly about this? Obviously, that's not one of those issues.
Well, you know, I'd love
But the answer then from you, Tim, is that you would not vote for Wesley Clark, even if there was not a Green candidate. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I would seriously look at, you know, at some of the other, protest kind of candidates or a smaller Green Party, a David Cobb kind of, you know, situation, because I want to hear what Wesley Clark has to say about energy, you know, all of these kinds of things, the Patriot Act, all that sort of stuff. Just standing up, just, you know, saying that you were against the war, but, you know, you've got this military background, it's not enough. You've got to be a...
Well, here's a quote from him about energy. He says, the means are out there to take now to take a much greater percentage of our energy needs from the sun, from solar, and from wind, and even from wave action, and I would hope that we would move ahead in those areas much more rapidly than we have been. His issues are starting to come out, but I agree with you, we still have a lot to learn. We still have to find out what this guy is up. Tim, thanks for the call. I very much appreciate your calling the program. 1-800-TALK-YES. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Radio Shack Dictionary of Gizmos. Today's definition, the plug-a-rooney, as described by Vanessa Williams.
It's the gizmo that turns your car lighter into a supercharger, because some of us can easily outtalk the average wireless phone battery.
So at Radio Shack, when you ask for...
You know, the car plug-a-rooney.
We'll show you our new car power adapter for your wireless phone with the 3-stage charge indicator. So come in for easy answers to all your electronic accessory needs.
When it comes to plug-a-roonies, no place is more plugged in.
Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m.
Here they come, the Rangers. Not Forest Rangers or the famous Texas Rangers, but the Bush Rangers. They are the corporate CEOs and other fat cats who are furiously bundling up big bucks for George W.'s re-election bid. To get designated as a Bush Ranger, these elite funders have to bring in at least $200,000 each for George's campaign coffers. Wait, isn't there a $2,000 legal limit on any individual's contribution to a presidential candidate? And aren't corporations outlawed from making donations? Yes, Pollyanna, but surprise! The politicos found a loophole big enough to drive a Brinks truck through. It's called bundling. CEOs, for example, can give $2,000 each, but then they can get their vice presidents to give $2,000 each and get their board members, corporate lawyers, country club pals, and others to send checks. How does the Bush campaign know to credit all of these incoming checks to a particular ranger? Easy. Each of the check hustlers is given a personal tracking number, and each of the solicited check writers includes that number on their check. Thus, Bush keeps a record of the money each fat cat delivers to him. Do the Bush Rangers get a neat badge to wear once they make their quota? No. If George wins, they get governmental favors. After all, they delivered for him, so... This is what passes for ethics in Washington. The Bushites try to claim that the tens of millions they're sacking up is not special interest money, but love offerings from little people. pointing to 85,000 checks they've gotten from small donors. That's sweet, but don't swallow it. Official records show that 85% of Bush's money is coming from the big investors. Indeed, a fourth of his money haul so far has come from just 68 bundlers. This is Jim Hightower saying, to track the money yourself, check the Reform Voter Project at reformvoter.org.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
We the people will defeat the evildoers.
The pill that will help you escape the matrix. Our quotes for the day from Ronald Reagan saying, I couldn't help but say to Mr. Gorbachev, just think how easy his task and mine might be in these meetings that we held. If suddenly there was a threat to this world from another planet, we'd find out once and for all that we're all really human beings here on this earth together. 1985, Ronald Reagan, a moment of lucidity. He had a few in there. And William J. Clinton in 1997, quote, the real differences around the world today are not between Jews and Arabs, Protestants and Catholics, Muslims, Croats and Serbs. The real differences are between those who embrace peace and those who would destroy it. Between those who look to the future and those who cling to the past. Between those who open their arms and those who are determined to clench their fists. And I shared with you on Monday, as I recall, an aha I got from Marianne Williamson at the GRA conference that was held in Washington, D.C. this last weekend. Marianne is just absolutely one of the most brilliant people on earth. And if you haven't read her writings, I encourage you to check them out. Her website is marianne.com. And the book Imagine What America Could Be in 50 Years If We Do Everything Right is a marvelous book. I contributed a chapter to it. Marianne compiled it. Lots of good stuff out there that this woman has done. Putting together the Global Renaissance Alliance is one of them. And she made the point that conservatives and liberals are both equally obsessed with morality. That both conservatives and liberals have a big issue with morality and a big concern about morality and work aggressively for morality, and that the difference is, and this isn't making bad or, you know, making anybody wrong, that the difference is that conservatives tend to be concerned mostly with private morality, what a person, what they themselves or others do in their sex life, in their bedroom, whether they're smoking pot, whether they're drinking too much, how they conduct themselves in their private lives. And liberal, and which is why the conservatives all freaked out about Bill Clinton having it on with Monica in the White House. And liberals tend to be just as upset about morality, but they're concerned about public morality. Are there people who are hungry in our nation? Are there children who can't get a decent education? Are our people being exploited by corporations? Are there people who are sleeping on the streets? Are there people who aren't getting government services or services in general that they need? Are there people who can't get access to health care? Are there people being killed by the actions of corporations that are spewing pollutants into the air? Public morality. And the conservatives tend not to care much about public morality as long as their private morality is all tight up, you know, nice and tight. And the liberals tend not to care that much about private morality. Hey, who cares what Bill Clinton did in the White House? With Monica, as long as his public moralities, right? I thought that was, wow, what an insight. And that's why I think that the issue that the Democrats could use to really blow apart George Bush, because his base is so concerned with private morality,
is there had to be somebody in the White House when he ate that pretzel and choked on it and passed out and hit the floor with his face the same way that alcoholics do when they go on benders. If one of those people could be brought out and could testify as to what actually happened there, see, private morality could very easily... Or like Dick Cheney still getting his paychecks from Halliburton. Private morality is what will bring these guys down, not their policy, among their base. It's a real interesting distinction. Anyhow, we're going to give away a book right after the break, and we're going to talk about $87 billion, and we're going to get into Dick Cheney's issues. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Illegal logging in Mexico hurts monarch butterflies across North America. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. Hundreds of millions of monarch butterflies are making their way from the eastern U.S. and Canada to their winter homes in the wooded mountains of central Mexico. But some people say that habitat is being logged illegally and that the problem is getting worse. Lincoln Brower is a biology professor at Sweetbriar College in Virginia. He's an expert on the monarch butterfly, and he's working to permanently protect the unique habitat where the butterfly spends the winter. But he says illegal logging in Mexico inside the butterfly reserves has steadily increased since his first visit in the 1970s.
And it was evident to me 26 years ago now that removing trees from these precious butterfly areas was going to be damaging the monarchs. And unfortunately, over the years, there's just been a relentless logging.
Brower and his colleagues in Mexico published a study of the logging last year in the journal Conservation Biology. He says just thinning out the trees is hard on the butterflies. When the forest is thinned out, the butterflies are more likely to get wet during winter rains, and then they die of exposure.
That is critical, because if the butterflies get wet, they lose their natural cryoprotection. They have antifreeze in their blood. And if the trees are thinned out, the body temperatures of the butterflies drop below freezing. And because they're wet and have lost most of their cryoprotection, they die.
3 years ago, the government of Mexico nearly tripled the size of its monarch butterfly reserves. But Brower says it's still difficult to protect them from illegal logging. He says if things don't improve, migrating monarch butterflies might not have a place to go within just 10 years. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities like Ted Nugent.
Everybody's got to learn to support hunting, fishing, and trapping, because that's where the dollars come from, to save habitat.
You know, every time he gets done talking, I feel like I should say amen.
But, amen. Because I live the truth. That's what my book, God, Guns, and Rock and Roll, it's on the New York Times bestseller list. It sounds like I'm bragging, because I am.
I love the book, Ted.
Thank you. It's like we're at a damn campfire, isn't it?
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Boil me in oil, cast me into hell. I'd never vote for Dan Quayle. More scary than brave. Rainey. I did not vote for Dick Cheney. I got a cat named Fluffy. I keep a dog named Reagan. Now who the hell is Robert Kagan?
Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're going to give away a copy of Jim Hightower's book, Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. You heard a promo for it, most likely, in the last half-hour segment there. Jim Hightower, marvelous, marvelous new book, Thieves in High Places. And I believe they may actually even be signed copies. I'm pretty sure they are. I'll have to double-check on that, but I believe so. To the first person who can correctly answer the following question, and Steph, our board operator and engineer extraordinaire in Detroit, is standing by with trembling fingers, ready to push the buttons on the telephone to take your call at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, if you know the answer to this question. Which of the following is not a weapon being developed by the U.S. military? A, the spider fiber entangler. B, the pocket-launched eye spike. C, the crow's feet area denial system. D, the vortex ring gun. Or E, the pulsed impulsive kill laser. Which of these five is not a weapon being currently developed by the U.S. military? A, spider fiber entangler. B, pocket-launched eye spike. C, crow's feet area denial system. D, vortex ring gun. And E, pulsed impulsive kill laser. The first person to call with the right answer, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, will receive a copy of Jim Hightower's book, Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. Now, to move on, as I shared with you earlier in the hour, Donald Rumsfeld was asked, this is an Associated Press story, he was asked in a Pentagon briefing yesterday, why is it that 70% of Americans think that Iraq, that Saddam had something to do with 9/11, and did they? And, of course, he didn't say why people think that, but he said, I have not seen any indication that would leave me to believe that I could say that. Well, listen to, here's a typical George W. Bush speech. This is from his speech in Cincinnati back before the invasion of Iraq was declared, back when he was ginning us up for the war. And this is a speech about Saddam Hussein and Iraq. Keep in mind, that was the topic of this speech. Period.
We must also never forget the most vivid events of recent history. On September the 11th, 2001, America felt its vulnerability, even to threats that gather on the other side of the earth.
And
we've experienced the horror of September the 11th.
They see, you get it, you know, Saddam Hussein, 9/11. I'm just giving you the 9/11 pieces. I mean, he started the speech out by talking about, I mean, here's where he started the speech.
As a condition for ending the Persian Gulf War, the Iraqi regime was required to destroy its weapons of mass destruction, to cease all development of such weapons, and to stop all support for terrorist groups. The Iraqi regime has violated all of those obligations.
Well, it turns out that was a lie, George.
It possesses and produces chemical and biological weapons.
Oh, yeah?
It is seeking nuclear weapons.
Uh-oh, look out, look out. And then, of course,
we experienced the horror of September the 11th. We have seen that those who hate America are willing to crash airplanes into buildings full of innocent people. Our enemies would be no less willing. In fact, they would be eager to use biological or chemical or a nuclear weapon.
Yeah, and this is all about, you know, getting ready for Saddam, because you never know.
Facing clear evidence of peril, we cannot wait for the final proof, the smoking gun that could come in the form of a mushroom cloud.
Clear evidence of peril. So let's get into Dick Cheney getting onto that same topic. But in the meantime, you can don't call any longer. Stephanie's lines are maxed out. We have a winner. We have a winner. We have to get winner music out here. 1-800-TALK-YES was the number, 1-800-825-5937. And Brain Shrub is one of the folks in our chat room. He's one. And no, I didn't give the answer out in the chat room. Oh, cool, Stephanie. You had applause music. Thank you. That's so cool. And Brain Shrub is on the line. Brain Shrub, what is the correct answer to the question? Let me restate the question very quickly here. The question is, which of the following is not a weapon being developed by the U.S. military? The spider fiber entangler, the pocket-launched eye spike, the crow's feet area denial system, the vortex ring gun, and the pulsed impulsive kill laser. Which is it?
I would say it would be the pocket-launched eye spike. Because
you're right!
Mainly because, it should be really easy to see through all the lies, I guess, you know.
yeah.
That made absolutely no sense. Darn.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah, that was a good try. Okay. You have the correct answer, and the book will be in the mail to you. If Stephanie has not already taken your name and address, stay on the line so that she can. Brain Shrub, thanks and congratulations.
Right on.
Okay, let's move along here to Dick Cheney and his comments on Meet the Press this weekend. Things that are of tremendous concern to me. In particular, this whole issue of the connection between 9/11 and Iraq, because we know now for a fact, I mean, all of the intelligence services in the United States have said unequivocally that Saddam Hussein and Iraq had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. The one closest connection that anybody has been able to find was that this group Ansar al-Islam had a training camp of some sort in northern Iraq up under the northern U.S. no-fly zone near the Iranian border, an Iranian-backed group, and that this group might have had, well, in fact, almost certainly had connections with al-Qaeda, but that group wouldn't have been there. If Saddam Hussein had anything to say about it, if we had not taken out his air force, he would have kicked them out because he hated these guys. We were protecting them with our northern no-fly zone. But that's as close as anybody, you know, even remotely. So Dick Cheney, Tim Russert, you know, asks Dick Cheney, can we keep 150,000 troops beyond next spring without, in effect, breaking the army? And Dick Cheney says,
if we're successful in Iraq, if we can stand up a good representative government in Iraq that secures the region so that it never again becomes a threat to its neighbors or to the United States, so it's not pursuing weapons of mass destruction, so that it's not a safe haven for terrorists.
Oh, wait a minute. So it's not pursuing weapons of mass destruction. So it's not a safe haven for terrorists. Did I just hear him say that? We know now that there are no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. I mean, if Donald Rumsfeld was just there, he met with David Kaye, the guy who's looking for them, not a word, not a peep. Clearly, there was no imminent danger to America, as we just heard George Bush talk about. And we know also that that they had nothing to do with 9/11. They weren't training terrorists in Iraq, or at least Saddam Hussein was not training terrorists in Iraq. There was this little camp up in the north near the Iranian border that the Americans were preventing Saddam from going after because of the northern no-fly zone. So here, now he said,
destruction, so that it's not a safe haven for terrorists.
Yeah, so it's not a safe haven for terrorists. I want to make
weapons
sure.
Weapons of mass destruction, so that it's not a safe haven for terrorists.
Yeah, amazing. So, okay. And then after that, he said, now, by the way, Iraq has now become a safe haven for terrorists. It wasn't before we invaded, but it certainly is now. And so then he continues, and this is a continuation of that sentence. Get this.
Now, we will have struck a major blow right at the heart of the base, if you will, the geographic base of the terrorists who've had us under assault now for many years, but most especially on 9/11.
What? Most especially on 9/11? Iraq was the geographic base for the 9/11 terrorists? See, this here we have Dick Cheney irresponsibly feeding this notion. You know, just pumping this thing up. Well, you know, why did we go after Iraq? Why? I mean, there's bad guys all over the world. You've got, you know, North Korea is sitting on nuclear weapons. You got, you know, why Iraq? Well, that's not actually the question that Tim Russert asked. The question that Russert asked was, how do we know that we can pay for this thing? You know, see, you invade North Korea, and they don't have resources that will pay for the war after the fact. But the scheme of this administration was, we'll invade Iraq, and then we'll pump their oil, and we'll take the money from that, and we'll pay ourselves back for the cost of our invading them. So it won't cost us anything. Right. And of course, here's
weapons of mass destruction.
Here's Cheney's comment, you know, on that right here.
Iraq sits on top of 10% of world's oil reserves. Very significant reserve, second only to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, no doubt. Very, very significant reserves. And then Russert says, is the $87 billion the end of it? Will the American people be asked for any more money? And Cheney says,
I can't say that. It's all that we think we'll need for the foreseeable future, for this year.
For this year? See, here's this Orwellian. It's all we'll need for the foreseeable future for this year. And now, in the paragraph before, Russert quoted two official sources who had promised the invasion would not cost this much. Here's in the question, Russert had said something to the effect of, you know, how you've had people say that it's not going to cost that much. I'd have to go back and find the actual quote here. Paul Wolfowitz, he says, the oil revenues in that country could bring in between $50 and $100 billion over the next 2 to 3 years. Mitch Daniels says the war in Iraq is only going to cost $50 billion. Lawrence Lindsay said total estimates of $100 to $200 billion. And you said his estimates are too high. And now you're coming and asking for $87 billion after you've already spent $80 billion. You want another $87 billion just for 1 year? And Cheney says, well,
people shouldn't be surprised that the request is coming now either.
Yeah, they shouldn't be surprised. It's not like, you know, And then he says, and now consider, an enterprise is like a business venture. An invasion or rebuilding a country is, I think, quite different from an enterprise. An enterprise is something that Halliburton would undertake if they wanted to pump the oil of Iraq, for example. So anyhow, Russert is asking Cheney, you know, what about the future here, and this $87 billion, and what are you saying about this? And he says,
what we've done consistently since we started this enterprise.
Yeah, right, since very consistently. And so why not just put this into the Department of Defense budget? I mean, I have this pen here that I got this weekend at the GRA conference from truemajority.org. Incredible. It's a ballpoint pen, and you pull on this piece of paper, and it stretches out this little banner, and it lists federal spending. Federal spending on the Pentagon, $399 billion, roughly $400 billion. Okay, you can imagine that? Imagine a stack of 400 Oreo cookies, to use the metaphor I think that Ben and Jerry used, 400 Oreo cookies stacked up. Now, children's health, $41 billion. So that's one-tenth as tall. So I get you could say you got a 40-story building. That's the Pentagon spending. Then you have so that's $400 billion. Then you've got $41 billion. Would that be, yeah, that would be a four-story building, right, is children's health. And then you've got K through 12 education, $34 billion, three-story building. Humanitarian foreign aid, $10 billion, a one-story building. Head Start program, $7 billion, a less than one-story building. And how much are we spending in the United States to reduce our reliance on oil from the Middle East? $2 billion. A building that is only 2 feet tall, or 3 or 4 feet tall, this little teeny tiny thing. So you got this $400 billion defense budget. Why not incorporate the cost of Iraq into that? And this is what Cheney had to say about that.
We did not want to incorporate the Iraq cost within the baseline DOD budget. So we've always dealt with it on the side as a separate appropriation.
This is more evidence that Eisenhower's warning has come true. This budget is to maintain the Department of Defense, what, in peacetime? We're not creating a budget for war? If the costs of war are not part of the Department of Defense budget, what part of the budget are they supposed to be part of? And Cheney doesn't have, you know, I mean, one of the problems, of course, with this interview is that Russert didn't ask many of these questions. But the bottom line is, we have this mess, and it's very expensive. $87 billion they want. This from Michael Moore sent out this email. $87 billion is more than the combined total of all state budget deficits in the United States. All the state budget deficits in the United States combined is less than $87 billion. $87 billion is enough to pay the $3.3 million people who have lost jobs under George W. Bush, $26,300 each. $87 billion is more than double the total amount the government spends on Homeland Security. It's eighty-seven times what we spend on after-school programs, and it's 10 times what we spend on all environmental protection. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Wow, that barbell looks heavy. Todd, can you spot for me?
Sure, Dad.
Todd, a little help.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800. Sponsored by ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
Doug Stepman's Good Day.
On the IE.
E! America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah?
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our quiz, by the way, our quiz question came from disinfo.com, www.disinfo.com. I want to give them the credit for putting that together. They did a great job. And we were going through the rant there. We've been talking about Dick Cheney and his disinfo campaign this weekend on national television. And Billy in California has some thoughts on the topic. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. I'd like to respond to the program so far. First of all,
Go for it.
That you call a contest, now, it's a fact. We are working on the iSpike pocket-launched item. So come
really?
On, stop putting out disinformation. All right, now that we're past that. Quickly, the bumper you just played, I actually took it seriously. I think we should have mandatory organ donation from the dead. But we'll talk about that another day.
Yeah, that was only heard on the web stream, so a lot of people won't know.
Okay, that refers to the animal talk
right.
promo. Yeah. Okay, so Dick Cheney. Interesting guy. You know, four times now, I mean, Dick Cheney's my role model because I want to be, a good American like he is. Four times now, the courts, the appeals courts have said to Dick Cheney, no, Dick, it isn't secret. The America's energy policy meetings ain't secret, Dick. And boy, what a good name, Dick. Explain to me.
We have Tricky Dick back.
Yeah. I think the Reverend Pat Robertson had it right. I'm going on a prayer vigil. I want all of America to join me. I want the heavy hand of God to start squeezing that thing called a heart inside of Dick Cheney because he is destroying.
Don't even go there.
Why not?
I'll pop you off the air. Don't even go there. Pat Robertson is a sick, toxic man, and we are not going to do the same thing he did. It's not going to happen on this program.
All right. I'll go along with that. As long as people remember. That's the kind of thing we're getting from the kind of guy. And remember, Pat Robertson actually ran for president once.
Oh, I know. He helped take over the Republican Party. I mean, a lot of this stuff on the right is the result of his efforts. Billy, we're out of time. We've run up against the edge here, but thanks for the call. I always appreciate hearing from you. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Thanks for joining us so far. Those of you whose stations run the full 3 hours of the program, stick around. We'll be back. Those of you who are departing, thanks for joining us. Stay tuned.
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. It's only a matter of hours before Hurricane Isabel, now with top winds of 110 miles an hour, crashes into the Atlantic coast. WeatherBug meteorologist Dave Jones has more.
Folks on the Outer Banks should expect these sustained winds between 4 and 7 o'clock today. In Norfolk, by 9 o'clock. Raleigh and Richmond in the early morning hours on Thursday, and these winds should not be felt in Washington, D.C., and Baltimore until later during the day on Thursday afternoon. Right now on the Outer Banks, winds are still gusting to about 30 miles per hour. However, there is a buoy just south of the Outer Banks of Cape Hatteras, about 180 miles south, that is now seeing sustained tropical storm force winds and waves to 23 feet. I'm WeatherBug meteorologist Dave Jones.
A new audio tape believed to contain the voice of Saddam Hussein has been broadcast on Arab TV. Catherine Drew reports.
The speaker called for Iraqi men and women to step up their resistance against the U.S. occupation and to demonstrate in the streets. He said a U.S. withdrawal was inevitable and called on American officials to negotiate their departure with Iraqi leaders they hold captive. The CIA said the last audio tape message, purportedly from Saddam Hussein, was likely authentic. Catherine Drew, Washington.
The Democratic battle for the White House is heating up. Retired General Wesley Clark today formally announced his candidacy in Little Rock, Arkansas. President Bush tops any and all Democratic challengers in a new survey on the 2004 presidential race. This is Quinnipiac University poll director Mickey Carroll.
New Quinnipiac University poll shows that his approval, job approval level has stayed solid, stayed where it was a couple of months ago, 53 to 39.
Carroll notes, though, that two-thirds of the respondents say the economy will play a larger part than the situation in Iraq when it comes to next year's election. More in a moment.
Hey, watch it.
Down in front. Hey, hey, we made it.
Yeah.
4 hours back-to-back Godzilla movies.
Wait.
Sorry. Did you see that cute girl on the end as we came in?
Oh, who could miss her?
So ask her out.
What?
No. Excuse me, my friend here wants to know if the girl on the aisle will go out with her. Pass it down.
Ask the girl over there if she wants to meet this loner. Pass it down.
Hey, that dude over there wants to meet the girl next to you when the flick's over. Excuse me, miss? There's a guy down there who wants to know if you're an organ and tissue donor.
Yes, of course.
Are you an organ and tissue donor? It's a simple but important question. Talk to your family today. Make sure they know your decision so there'll be no question later.
Hey, buddy. She said yeah. Oh, hey, buddy. Me too.
What?
Share your life. Share your decision. Call 1-800-355-SHARE for a free brochure. 1-800-355-SHARE. A message from the Advertising Council and the Coalition on Donation.
Former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Hans Blix thinks Iraq destroyed its weapons of mass destruction 10 years ago. He told Australian radio intelligence agencies were wrong in their conclusions that led to war. He says the search for banned weapons will probably only uncover documents, if anything. A Minnesota teen accused of creating variants of the blaster virus that infected millions of computers around the world is scheduled to be in a Seattle, Washington courtroom today. 18-year-old Jeffrey Lee Parson faces up to 10 years behind bars if convicted on the charge of intentionally damaging a computer. Wall Street, the Dow is up 24 points at this hour, the NASDAQ better by 5. More after this.
Presenting the new
Radio Shack MasterCard credit card. With a 9.9% APR for purchases and a 0% introductory APR for balance transfers. It's a cool card that helps you earn reward points toward cool stuff, like a complete home digital imaging system. Plus, earn reward points everywhere and get double points at participating Radio Shack stores.
Apply now at
Radio Shack. For information about rates, fees, features, and benefits associated with use of this credit card, see a Radio Shack store associate for details.
The singer of the number one 1958 hit Purple People Eater is dead at the age of 82. Sheb Woolley lost his fight with leukemia Monday. Woolley was also a famous actor, having appeared mostly in westerns like High Noon. At his request, Woolley's funeral will be held at High Noon next Monday. A baby boa constrictor in New York seems to have a head case. In fact, she has two of them. While there have been other two-headed snakes, Indy, as she was named by owner Robert Shapiro, is the world's only two-headed boa. Shapiro says Indy is a normal snake with a normal head plus one attached to the neck that's totally obstructed.
The blood flows to the brain of the other snake, and it's got a nervous system, and it flicks its tongue, and it looks around, and it opens its mouth, but it cannot eat, drink, or even breathe. It just gets nourished by the main body.
Indy's 3 months old, measures 18 inches long. Shapiro expects to sell her to an experienced collector or a zoo for around $100,000. I'm Tom Robertson. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Cucumbers, jazz, Gwyneth Paltrow, and khakis. Speaking of cool things, how's your vehicle's cooling system stacking up for the summer? Don't sweat it. When I come back, I'll tell you how to chill out. We've all seen the tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your tornado unit today. Or visit tornadoair.com. It's hot and you're working hard. You can't go another foot till you cool off. Aha, now you know how your car feels. In fact, overheating's the number one cause of breakdowns. Like our bodies have a cooling system, cars do too. They rely on radiators to keep their engines from boiling over. To properly cool, these systems must be maintained with correct proportions and levels of coolant water mixture. So this summer, think cool, calm, and collect the money saved by radiator check. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's been written about in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Pravda. He spent time with the Pope and the Dalai Lama. And now you can talk with Tom Hartman simply by calling 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Which increasingly is becoming the most of us. I like to call this program Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. I am convinced that the vast majority of Americans are awakening to the fact that the extremists in right-wing talk radio and in the White House are leading us down a terrible, terrible, dangerous path. And they rail on. Oh, by the way, news flash here. I didn't hear the newscast in its entirety, and so I don't know if it was reported. It probably was, but just in case it wasn't, if you missed it, Wesley Clark just officially announced that he has entered the presidential race. So, anyhow, the conservatives, the cons out there are just, you know, the next thing in their sights. If George Bush gets elected for the first time in the year 2004, if he gets elected, given that the two largest groups that are donating to his campaign are the fossil fuel industry and in drilling and in consumption, the energy industry, number one. And number two, the investment and banking industry. Now, why would the investment industry want to put hundreds of millions of dollars that could be profits into the pockets of Republican politicians? Why? Because they want your Social Security money. These cons have been saying from the beginning that Social Security was a terrible thing. See, this is private morality is important. Public morality is irrelevant. If you go back and read the Founding Fathers, you'll discover that they were far more interested with public morality. What is the welfare of the nation, the state of the people? Thomas Jefferson created the University of Virginia because he believed that every American, it was white men back then, but you know, they started the thing. They created the archetype, and they used the right language. I was at the Jefferson Memorial this Sunday, and there's a speech up on the wall in which he said, no, it was Lincoln. Lincoln said, I tremble when I think that, no, it was Jefferson. He said, I tremble when I think that God is just. One or the other. Anyway, the point is that from the beginning, the cons have been saying, no, Social Security is a terrible thing. I want to just play a little clip for you. 1936, I think this came from, or 1937, and an early clip from Father Coughlin. Father Coughlin was the first right-wing radio talk show host in the 1930s, and Roosevelt had just put into place the Social Security program, and this is how they were railing against it. Way back then, and noted, and he says, you think you've seen a Great Depression. Wait until, you know, they're all full of these dire warnings. Terrible things are going to happen if Social Security is allowed to survive, if it's not handed over to the corporations who can skim their profit off the top of it. Here's Father Coughlin.
And therefore, choosing right instead of might, choosing to be on the side of justice, instead of on the side of modern capitalism with its intermingling with socialism and communism, I stand before you tonight to warn you, careful to me, that this relief that has failed to relieve by pounding up its taxation, by doubling its assessment upon the payrolls of the nation, by finding its way into the grocer shops where you purchase your food, this relief that lives upon a sucker's taking from the people every penny they own is due to crumble and fall before 1 year from this April. You think you know what depression is?
Oh, Father Coughlin, the original right-wing talk radio host, telling us about the dangers of Social Security. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. In this hour, we're going to get into when will George Bush begin to support our troops. But first, we've got Frank in Santa Barbara on the line. Frank, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for letting me on the air.
All are welcome.
I've enjoyed listening, and I wanted to make a suggestion for a serious topic.
Okay.
Topic would be the psychological differences between a person drawn to be a conservative versus one not so compelled. Two college professors statistically summarized dozens of studies conducted over 50 years dealing with these psychological differences. Their findings showed that there was significant correlation with a sense of societal instability, fear of death, intolerance of ambiguity, a need for closure, lower cognitive complexity, and a sense of threat. To me, this translates to mean that conservatives are more paranoid and rigid than liberals, and that liberals tend to think better and handle better the ambiguities of life and aren't compelled to see things in black and white. Regardless of my spin, the two psychologist professors have written some pretty heady stuff when you combine it.
Yeah, it's published
Remember Lee Atwater?
Yeah.
And the piece that he wrote for Life magazine.
Yeah.
And if you put those two together, and then there's a psychologist in Santa Barbara named Robert Firestone. He has some theories on the defenses against death anxiety and on the origins of ethnic strife.
Yeah.
You put all that together, and you can see why people are compelled to act not in their own best interests.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Frank, I'm familiar with the study that you're citing, and I've thought about doing a program on it, and in all probability at some point we will. It's interesting. I had Daniel Ellsberg on the show a month or two ago.
Yeah.
And while we were talking, you know, in the middle of the show, he had one of these eureka moments where he said, "Hey, wait a minute, are you the Tom Hartman who wrote Unequal Protection?" I said, "Yes." He said, "I love your book." And I just finished, you know, reading his book. He's got a new book out called Secrets, as I recall.
Yeah.
So after the show, we got on the phone and we talked for about 3 hours. And what a brilliant man Daniel Ellsberg is. And he reminded me of a study that was done back in the 1960s. Late 50s, early 60s, called A Study in the Social Psychology of Fascism. Now, back then, everybody was concerned about fascism because, you know, the experience of the Nazis was still fresh. And that study had come to very similar conclusions with this one. And those authors also got soundly trashed by the conservatives. And there was a long period of time where it was just dangerous to study and talk about these things. I have a particular take on this, Frank. I have a new book out that just literally hit the stores this week called The Edison Gene. And it's ostensibly a book about attention deficit hyperactive disorder, ADHD, which I've written several books on. And in that book, I point out some new research about how brains form. And this is really fascinating stuff to me. And I think many of our listeners will find this interesting. When a baby is developing in the womb, there's basically, I mean, there's many parts to the brain, but there's these two parts of great consequence. There's what's called the hind brain, which is the old reptilian brain, the part that is responsible for fight or flight and fires off the adrenal glands, which are down by the kidneys, but connected to it. And so you've got the lower part of the brain, the hind brain. And then you've got the forebrain, our frontal lobes, the part of the neocortex, the most recently evolved part of the neocortex. And nature has to make a decision whether to make the hindbrain larger and more powerful and functional at the sacrifice, at the cost of the forebrain, diminishing intellectual ability and particularly diminishing compassion, but enhancing the ability to react quickly and react violently when necessary, or to diminish the ability to react quickly and violently by reducing the size of the hindbrain and enhancing the ability to think cognitively at increasingly deep levels and to experience compassion, making the forebrain larger. So the baby is developing in the womb, and nature has to make a decision. And I say nature because it all makes sense in just a second. Is this baby going to be born with a predominant hindbrain or forebrain? Is it going to be mostly a baby adapted to a hostile world where it has to have, you know, strong, powerful, violent defenses? Or is it going to be a baby born into a safe, secure world where it has the luxury of fulfilling the highest potential of human evolution of compassion and insight and deep thought? And the way that the fetus determines which part of the brain is going to be developed is by an elaborate and delicate, and this has just been discovered in the last 5 years, elaborate and delicate feedback mechanism with the mother's body in which the fetus is continuously monitoring the mother's level of a hormone called cortisol. Cortisol is a hormone that people produce when they're under stress. And so the baby, the fetus is basically constantly saying to the mother's body, is it a hostile world out there? Are you stressed? And if the mother's feedback by high levels of cortisol is yes, it's a dangerous world, we're under stress, then the forebrain, the thinking forebrain, gets diminished in size and the hindbrain gets increased in size. Right. If, on the other hand, the baby, the fetus develops very low levels of cortisol or only intermittent levels of cortisol, then the response is to develop the forebrain and to actually reduce the size of the hindbrain. And so you get people, and so you have this contrast, you know, on the one hand you've got the strong, violent person, who, and physically strong as well, Or, on the other hand, you've got the person who might be kind of a geek, but also very smart and very empathetic. And those are the archetypal extremes. And one of the really interesting things that I discovered when I was really getting into this is that cortisol is produced, obviously, by things like, you know, the mom being beaten up or something. I mean, abusive situations will produce cortisol. Nicotine produces cortisol. Stressful, obviously, any kind of stressful situations produce cortisol in a mother that's carrying a baby. But television flickering produces continuous low levels of cortisol. If mom is in a room in which a TV set is just, because the TV is constantly flickering, it's constantly, and it draws the eye. Constantly. I mean, it's designed to keep you staring at it. People stare at TVs for hours. They would never stare at a bush for hours, you know. And every time that scene changes, there's just a little tiny minute burst of cortisol. And there are some scientists now who are speculating that the reason that we're seeing so many more people being born violent in American culture and so many of these kids coming up and having cognitive difficulties, but they're very, very competent with video games, they're very competent with violence, is because of mothers' exposure to television and the increasingly violent nature of our culture. So, Frank, I'm sorry if I went off on too much of a rant there, but I agree with you. This is a topic that we should do more with. We're not going to do it today, but thanks. I appreciate the note, and we'll carry that on. That music means we've come up against a break. Armand in Florida, hang on. We'll take your call right after this break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Presenting the new
Radio Shack MasterCard credit card. With a 9.9% APR for purchases and a 0% introductory APR for balance transfers, it's a cool card that helps you earn reward points toward cool stuff like a complete home digital imaging system. Plus, earn reward points everywhere and get double points at participating Radio Shack stores.
Apply now at
Radio Shack. For information about rates, fees, features, and benefits associated with the use of this credit card, see a Radio Shack store associate for details.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I wasn't expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Con back in conservative. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. When will George Bush begin to support our troops? Our question for the hour. We're just about to dig into it, but first we've got a call here from Armin in Florida. 1-800-TALK-YES. Armin has called 1-800-825-5937. And Armin, welcome to the program. You're live and on the air.
Thank you very much, and that's intriguing to say the least. Your discussion about the science behind the evolution of the apparent genetic codes and the chemical reactions and influences.
Yeah, I found it fascinating. In fact, over the next few weeks, I have to build a website for this book, because every time one of my books comes out, I put a couple of the chapters on the web, and I'm going to put that chapter on the Internet, but it's not there yet. But Joseph Chilton Pierce also wrote about this in a book called the Neurobiology, or The Biology of Transcendence. And Alan Shore wrote the original book on this about 3 years ago. It's got 2,400 footnotes in it. It's a 1,000-page book, and it's called Affect Regulation and the Development of Self. This is really well-researched stuff. It's amazing.
So then that.
But I digress, right?
So then that confirms the theory and practice of it really does take a village, and a village is really influential on the development.
Oh, yeah.
Correct?
Oh, yeah. Nurture and nature go hand in hand. I mean, you know,
okay. For
a long time there's been this debate about it. Do people become
right.
the way they are as a result of psychology or as a result of biology? It's clearly both. And there's
right.
this beautiful dance that goes on, this interactive dance.
Okay, things are interconnected. Okay, I'd like to bring up something else.
Sure.
When W is prancing around on the media before the military soldiers and bases, you know, and they're trying to frame it in the patriotic, you know, view. I'd like to know how many of those soldiers that seem to be for W and his policies and agenda, how many of them realize that this guy's a deserter? I'd like to know that. How many of them really know that he is? And then you ask yourself, why don't more of them know? Because I think that a minority in numbers know that he's a deserter, really know it.
Oh, yeah.
Go
ahead.
No, so then
I
have to ask yourself, Tom?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, hello?
Yeah, no, go ahead, Armin. I'm sorry, there's
okay,
a one-second pause between you and me, because we're both going in on a digital line to Detroit here.
Okay, so then you have to ask your question. If there's a small number that realizes this guy's a deserter that's before them, their president, you have to ask yourself this question, why don't more realize that the guy's a deserter? So then you have to conclude this whole administration and regime, as many call it, including myself, has to depend on a media that conceals things and information that the public has a right to know. And then you have to conclude, what's in it for the media? Then you have to conclude that, you know, this ruling that Bush is wanting to override the Senate on this media ownership, that's a payoff and an incentive for media to stay embedded with this administration or regime, because
sure.
they have an incentive at the top. We know how their system works and how the boys at the top take care of themselves and the hell with the rest of everybody else, basically. And, you know, that they've proven that over the last 20 years especially, or even longer than that, but it's become more apparent for people to access the information that's proven that, not only in my opinion, but many people's opinions, that that's how they operate. So then you have to conclude is where does the money come from? And we all realize now that the CIA has these outrageous black budgets. And wouldn't you really love to really know, wouldn't it really be interesting and really paint a real picture to the American people that's responsible and paying for the taxes that go into the system? Wouldn't you really love to know where the CIA's really taking that money and what
well,
they're really doing?
Well, in some ways, Armin, I think that we really do need a CIA and we really do need a strong defense in the United States. I'm not opposed to the CIA. However, after the break, I'll respond to some of your other points there. Armin, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Two down, one to go for the United Auto Workers. After reaching tentative new contracts with Daimler Chrysler and Ford Motor Company on Monday, bargaining continues with General Motors. The union said it would not compromise on issues of job security and the costs of health care, but details leaked about the proposed Chrysler contract paint a very different picture. As many as seven U.S. factories may be closed, putting as many as 9,000 out of work. The costs of prescription drugs are also scheduled to rise for union workers at Chrysler. To make it easier to swallow, Chrysler workers are promised a $3,000 signing bonus and a regular schedule of raises.
Victory for labor unions and the First Amendment at Walmart. A judge with the National Labor Relations Board in South Carolina ruled yesterday that the retailer illegally muzzled employees who spoke about union organizing on the job. Walmart had argued that the discussions violated its no solicitation policy. The judge also found that Walmart illegally used wage increases as a means to entice workers away from union organizing. A spokesperson for the United Food and Commercial Workers suggests that Walmart employees seeking a raise should simply begin talking about forming a union.
Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of American workers may be sick and dying, casualties to the Cold War. They worked in factories conscripted into government service for the design and manufacture of nuclear weapons. Although the government has set up a compensation fund for workers with radiation-related health problems, it will only compensate those who were exposed while the work took place. The problem is many of these plants remained contaminated with uranium dust and other toxins for years after the weapons work ended. And while there's evidence that the government knew this, those workers are not eligible for federal aid. So far, more than 28,000 claims have been denied.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Turn on the light. Take off the light.
back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. What Armand was talking about in the last call, it's interesting how this has been spun and done. The facts of the matter are broadly not in dispute. From May to November of 1972, George W. Bush was living in Alabama, and his father was the congressman from Texas, and the congressman from Alabama, Wynton Blount, had invited him to come to Alabama and work on his campaign and do political stuff. And so he was in the Air National Guard in Texas. It was a great way to stay out of going to Vietnam. It was one of those units that was guaranteed not to go to Vietnam. He was moved ahead of several hundred qualified candidates as a consequence of his father's intervention, his father the congressman. That's all on the record. Nobody's disputing that. And he applied to be relocated to Alabama, to show up at the Alabama National Guard during this year period that he was going to work for Blount, 7 months, a seven-month period. However, all the time that he was in Alabama, there is no record that he attended any drills at all. General William Turnipseed, who was the commander of that unit, has stated on the record to the press that he never saw George Bush report for duty, has no paperwork to back it up. There's no evidence that George ever showed up. His administrative assistant, Kenneth K. Lott, has said the same thing, that he has no memory of Bush ever reporting. 7 months later, at Ellington Air Force Base in Texas, Bush's two superior officers were unable to complete his annual evaluation, which to this day is still uncompleted, covering the year from May 1, 1972 to April 30, 1973, because, and I quote from Bush's military record, quote, Lieutenant Bush has not been observed at this unit during the period of this report, end quote. This period from May of 72 to May of 73 remains unaccounted for, and George Bush has still refused to discuss it. Now, the Boston Globe, the Washington Post, the Birmingham News, and the Dallas Morning News all reported on this back briefly after, interestingly, after the 2000 election. And the issue that many GIs are bringing up, many of our men and women in service, is that under the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the UCMJ, Article 86, being absent without leave is a crime. And additionally, a person who is absent without leave for more than 30 days, as George Bush apparently was during this time, under UCMJ Article 85, is called desertion. And if you want to know what the penalty is for that, I read to you from Article 85, Section 4.9.5E of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. The maximum punishment for desertion in the time of war, quote, is death or such other punishment as a court-martial may direct, end quote. So, you know, there's a lot of people who are very upset about this. George Bush has refused to discuss it. His campaign and the people within the White House at first simply said, we don't know, we don't remember, he doesn't have his records, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then after he was elected president, these newspapers went back and interviewed his former commanders who said, no, he didn't, he never showed up here. He, in fact, was AWOL for a year. And so the newspapers went back to George Bush and said, do you have any evidence that you were there? And he has produced none, absolutely none to this date. And in the years since then, the about 2 years since this story came out so well and was so well documented since then, and since his commanding officers went on the record in public talking to real live newspapers saying, yep, he didn't show up. The Bush campaign's official position on this now is, well, that's already been reported. This is why are you trying to drag up an old story? The Boston Globe, the Washington Post, the Birmingham News, the Dallas Morning News, they all ran stories about that a couple of years ago. That's old news. We're not going to comment on that. You guys are just trying to drag up something political. So that's the story that Armand was talking about. And You know, whether or not George Bush was actually AWOL, whether or not he was a deserter, whether he should be subject to military court-martial, are all questions that would only be answered by a trial, by a court-martial. And it's, frankly, I think, unlikely that that's ever going to happen. And there are many people in the military who are very concerned about this. You know, Bill Clinton during the Vietnam War got out of the war by going to college. He was a Rhodes Scholar. He got a scholarship to go to Oxford University. And while he was there, he participated in anti-war demonstrations and had long hair and was, you know, the enemy of the pro-war movement in the United States. I mean, they really saw him as the enemy. He dodged the war, they would say. Dick Cheney says during the Vietnam War, he didn't report, he didn't serve, because he, quote, had other priorities, end quote. Rush Limbaugh, you know, he's famous for, he got out because he had a pimple on his butt, a boil, actually, I guess it was. You have all these, you know, the chicken hawk cards. I talked about this yesterday in the air. I believe the site is www.chickenhawkcards.com, or maybe it's chickenhawkdeck.com. Somebody in the chat room, let me know, and I'll get it right on here for everybody. They're all there. But George, actually, his draft number was coming up, and so he actually joined the Army National Guard there. Whether or not there's questions, I frankly don't know. It would be nice if he would clarify this. And I know that there are GIs who are accusing him of desertion, but frankly, I don't think that this is something that's going to go beyond the base, as it were. I think that there are a lot on the left who are, you know, going back to that sports analogy that I was talking about. I think there's a lot on the left who are just like those on the right who will look for anything about Bill Clinton that they can bash him with. There are those on the left who look for anything that they can bash George Bush about, and you know, some things are going to stick and some things aren't. And I'll be real surprised if this thing sticks because I think these people are going to be very effective at spinning it. And in the 2 years or in the 3 years since those two commanding officers of his were interviewed, they have both died. So the witnesses are gone now. The Washington Post talks about how Marine General Zinni has blasted Bush's incompetent prosecution of the war. Blasted it. There is no strategy or mechanism for putting the pieces together, said retired Marine General Anthony C. Zinni, and so, quote, we're in danger of failing in Iraq, of course. He gave this speech to several hundred Marine and Navy officers and others, and he did not have a free speech zone outside that where anybody who wanted to protest would get locked up in a cage, like happens if you try to protest at a George W. Bush speech or even near it. He said, and I quote, now see, this might be the thing that would bring back George W.'s military service. Maybe, Armand, you're onto something. Because, you know, my thinking really was kind of pre-Iraq on this. I've been thinking about this for about 3 years, ever since I first learned about it. And it's been well documented. It's in several books. You know, it's out there. And the Bush administration, the Bush campaign, never made an attempt to refute it, a serious attempt to refute it. They basically either dismiss it or say it's old news. But now that he has led our young men and women, and some of them not so young, he has led our military forces into this swamp in Iraq so that Halliburton can make more money on oil and Bechtel can make more money on construction, and both can cycle more contributions to the Republican Party. And it's not just Bechtel and Halliburton, of course. There's a whole bunch of them. And this administration has raised crony capitalism to an art form. But, I mean, what would you expect? You've got a CEO, a former corporate CEO from the energy sector as president, and a former corporate CEO from the energy sector as vice president. You don't think that these guys are going to run around the world looking out for the interests of the energy sector? But anyhow, they're in there, and he's stuck his foot into this thing. And Anthony Zinni, this is the guy who, you know, he was a commander. I mean, get who this is. Zinni's comments are especially striking, the Washington Post says. because he endorsed President Bush in the 2000 campaign shortly after retiring from active duty and serves as an advisor to the State Department on anti-terror initiatives in Indonesia and the Philippines. Oh, I said that Wesley Clark had something to do with the command in Iraq. I was confusing him with Anthony Zinni. I stand corrected. I was wrong in that first hour. Here's the text. He preceded Zinni preceded Army General Tommy R. Franks as chief of the U.S. Central Command, the headquarters for U.S. military operations in Iraq and elsewhere in the Middle East. I knew I had it in today's stack of stuff to read, and I was the wrong general. So what did Zinni say? The guy who was before Tommy Franks came along, the guy who was in charge of the troops that went into Iraq, what did he say before these several hundred Marines and Navy officers and others, active duty officers? What did he say? He said, "My contemporaries, our feelings and sensitivities were forged on the battlefields of Vietnam, where we heard the garbage and the lies and we saw the sacrifice. I ask you, is it happening again?" When will George Bush begin to support our troops? The Observer, the newspaper from London, The Guardian and The Observer, this the liberal press of the UK, did a fairly exhaustive piece of investigative reporting. And they say, more, and I quote, "More than 6,000 American servicemen have been evacuated for medical reasons since the beginning of the war in Iraq, including more than 1,500 American soldiers who have been wounded, many seriously. The figures will shock many Americans who believe that casualties in the war in Iraq have been relatively light. Have you seen a single TV camera photo of a single GI being wheeled off a plane, on an ambulance plane, in a wheelchair or on a stretcher? I haven't. Have you? No, this administration has made very sure that we do not see our wounded. Very sure. George Bush went and visited a veterans hospital last week. Did you notice? He did not visit any of the wounded who lost their limbs. The campaign, they specifically set it up so that he would not have to see any soldiers who lost arms or legs while in Vietnam, or who were comatose, or who were on ventilators, or who had life-threatening injuries. Instead, he visited people who had a broken arm. This guy's got a broken leg. Oh, you poor fella. Don't worry, you'll get better. And the press was not allowed in. Our war hero who dresses up in a flight suit and has a real pilot fly him onto the deck of an aircraft carrier, walks around. Oh. And the Observer goes on to point out that modern body armor worn by almost all American troops. I'm sorry, I just indulged myself in a little bit of, getting angry with George. And it is so important, I think, for me myself to follow my own advice, which is, it's not the person, it's the policies, it's the issues here that are at stake. George Bush, in my opinion, is an incompetent failure. He's never succeeded at anything he's done in his life. He's been bailed out of every one of his businesses by his father's friends or the family of Osama bin Laden or other Saudi families. Every single time he's been bailed out. He's gotten a free pass. He got busted for cocaine. They let him do community service and they took it off his record. He's drunk driving convictions. They issued him a new driver's license. So for a while it was hard to find. We now know that he's the first president of the United States to be convicted of a crime in the history of the United States. But he always got a pass. But we really have to be looking at what he's doing more than who he is. And what he's doing is he's sending our soldiers in to Iraq to die and be wounded. And wounded very often in horrific ways. The The Observer points out, modern body armor worn by almost all American troops means wounds that would normally kill a man are avoided. However, vulnerable arms and legs are affected badly. This has boosted the proportion of maimed among the injured. We are bringing back more and more veterans from this war than from previous wars on a percentage basis who are missing arms and legs or who will become amputees. Moving along, the Wall Street Journal reports that the J.P. Morgan Group has won an Iraq contract. A consortium of 13 international banks led by J.P. Morgan Chase & Company was chosen to lead the newly created Trade Bank of Iraq, the Coalition Provisional Authority announced. The program is to begin this month. The group will be paid about $2 million to run the trade bank. The winning consortium also will benefit from billions of dollars in anticipated business that will eventually flow through the bank. Another story from the Wall Street Journal is from last Monday. Bush seeks more money to fix Iraqi oil fields. The Bush administration has asked Congress for $2.1 billion. We're almost getting numb to this. People say, $100 million. He made $1 million. He made $10 million. He made $7 million. He made $103 million. Can you imagine how much money that? Now, think of $1 billion. That's $1 million 1,000 times over. The Bush administration has asked Congress for $2.1 billion to restore the Iraqi oil fields, $948 million of it to fund task orders issued to, guess who, Halliburton. It's Tom Hartman on IE. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
You know, you ought to check your credit report.
But I just don't have time.
I have to clean out the garage.
And take the kids to the doctor.
And balance my checkbook.
And take the dog to the vet.
And mow the lawn.
And do the grocery shopping. And call the bank.
Stop. If you haven't checked your credit report, there's a fast, easy solution. Log on to freecreditreport.com and we'll show you how to find out online what's in your credit report. And get 30 days of our credit check monitoring service free. So don't say,
I'm just too busy.
Log on to freecreditreport.com today.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where a victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
really?
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. Like the singing bird in the croaking toad, I've got a name, I've got a name. And I carry it with me like my daddy did.
And welcome back. Carrying it with me like my daddy did. My father instilled in me a love for my nation and an interest in politics, and I am so grateful to him for that. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Back in the 1770s, before the Declaration of Independence was written, a decade before the Constitution of the United States was written, Thomas Jefferson participated in writing the Virginia Bill of Rights. And this is for the state of Virginia. And he made a few comments that are apropos, because this is why I started this radio program, or we, Louise and I, my wife and I, started this radio program. This is why we so care about this, that we're willing to put the effort and time into this thing and get. This is my vision. Not just my vision. These brilliant words of Thomas Jefferson. Section 2 of the Virginia Bill of Rights. First of all, a declaration of rights made by the representatives of the good people of Virginia assembled in full free convention, which rights do pertain to them and their posterity as the basis and foundation of government. In other words, the foundation of government is the rights. That all power is vested in and consequently derived from the people. So that's Section 2. Section 3, that government is or ought to be instituted for the common benefit, protection, and security of the people, nation, or community, of all the various modes and forms of government that is best, which is capable of producing the greatest degree of happiness and safety. When any government shall be found inadequate or contrary to these purposes, a majority of the community has an indubitable, inalienable, and indefeasible right to reform, alter, or abolish it in such manner as shall be judged most conducive to the public weal, and that no man or set of men are entitled to exclusive or separate emoluments or privileges from the community. A fourth one in particular, speaking of Dick Cheney and Halliburton. Anyhow, this has been the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Our program produced by Joe McPherson in Georgia and Louise Hartman here in Vermont. Engineered today by Steph Stryker and Steve Damschroeder in Detroit. Thank you all very much. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.
But it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday. For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America.